Tie a Tie by Harris Lottie. Russell cannot tie his tie and cannot accept that he cannot learn it, that this part of his brain is just gone. In the bathroom mirror, I watch his fingers fumble with the tie as the upturned scar on his forehead purples with tamped down rage. Drape, wrap, repeat, push, pull through the loop, he says. I respect Russell's perseverance, that despite this traumatic brain injury, Russell does not acquiesce into helplessness and rely on the assistance available to him, like some other residents tend to. But after so many Sundays, I must admit I'm not optimistic. After so many Sundays, I know that this episode only ends one way, with him asking for my help. Russell, I say, hoping to move things along. His half-sister hates when we're late. There's plenty of stuff I can't do either. I can't do calculus or knit sweaters. I can't eat dairy products or peanuts or watch Christmas movies without crying. I can't roller skate. Russell ignores me. Drape, wrap, repeat, push, pull through the loop. I can't think about the deep ocean without existential dread, I say, or sleep without draping a heating pad over a pillow and pretending it is another human body. I can't volunteer at the Humane Society. Drape, wrap, repeat, push, pull through the loop. And as Russell's fingers fumble, I continue listing my shortcomings. I list them and the list grows long and painful, but I do not stop. I keep listing because I want Russell to understand that we are all deficient in some fashion. Finally, Russell turns to me and says, I'm very sorry, but can you please respect my personal space? I do not want to keep my half-sister waiting, and you're making it difficult for me to focus. For a moment, I'm gobsmacked. For a moment, I feel betrayed, as if Russell does not fully appreciate how difficult it is for me to list all of my shortcomings, to open my heart to him and bare my soul. Then the moment passes, and I remember the one thing I've always been good at, forgiveness. I forgive you, I say. I go and stand on the other side of the bathroom door. I listen through the door to Russell, fumble with the tie, and think how I can forgive any person in the history of the world. I can forgive murderers, rapists, ex-husbands. I can forgive every evil tyrant for every atrocity they have ever done. My trick is remembering how they all started out as babies. Then I think of Russell's half-sister. I remember all the time she blamed me for being late and how, out of all the Sundays, she never once invited me inside for church. How each time I sat at the curb in the passenger van, watching the stained glass glisten and listening to the pipe organ groan. But then I think of Russell's half-sister as a baby. I imagine her swaddled in her crib, staring up into her mobile, trying to figure out this miracle called life. And I forgive her in advance for everything, every last thing she has ever done. Now the bathroom door swings open, and Russell emerges with an unexpected smile to match his scar, the inverse of which describes the trajectory he flew many years prior in a drunk driving wreck. How's this? He asks me. It takes me a moment to notice the tie tied around his neck, crooked, loose, and an attempt closer than he's ever come, but still not close at all. Well, what do you say? He says. At first, I do not know how to answer. I know that his half-sister will not accept this, that she will blame me for Russell showing up so disheveled, like she blames me for every other misfortune that befell her half-brother, and I forgive her for all this also. Then, most importantly, I forgive myself. For the moment I lie to her and pretend Russell's tie is tied perfectly, when I roll my eyes, throw up my hands and say, what? You've never seen a double Windsor knot? And for any harsh words or physical altercations that might follow, I forgive myself for everything, all of it. I bequeath myself total freedom and the power to act. Then I look at Russell, smile back at him, tell him the tie looks perfect, more than perfect, divine.